will with me to the book of Genesis, please. Chapter 1. And we're going to read from chapter 1 right down to verse chapter 2, verse 3. All right, please stand, if you will, with me for the reading of God's word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light and that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and then let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and it divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God, verse 9, and God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw it that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth," and it was so. Earth and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seeds after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And in the evening and the morning was the third day. And God said, "Let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the night from the day, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the dark. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament." And God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, and saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning was the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and the cattle and the creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth of his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. And God said, God blessed them, and said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, so to you shall it be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I giveth every tree, every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw that it was he that made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were made, or finished, and all the hosts of them." And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he hath made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in he had rested and made all his work, God created and made. Brother Ken, will you pray for us, please?
Lord, I just love you tonight, Lord. Lord, thank you to give my brother Chris the opportunity, Lord, to say something for you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Be with his lips, Lord, and just be with their ears, Lord. Help us to receive it, Lord. It doesn't matter who's given it, Lord. It's your word. Please, God, I ask you to touch my brother Chris, Lord.
Oh, God.
Help him, Lord, yes, to get Lord. The words across to us from heaven, give, Lord. Please help us to put ourselves down, Lord, and just listen to your messenger, God. Again, I love you and I thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to, in this very familiar portion of scripture, we're going to notice there's a contrast between creation and redemption. It was nothing for God to create this entire creation that we see. He only had to speak. But to redeem mankind, he had to suffer. And that's what a lot of people don't understand, is that Jesus Christ is the same God who made this earth. He was the same God who was the great I Am.
Amen.
He was the same God who spoke to Moses in the flaming bush.
That's right, brother.
I mean, there are 50 chapters in the Bible on the tabernacle and its structure, but there's only one on the creation of God. That's why we're going to take a look at these chapters. Now, an interesting thing to note, there are three books of the Bible that open with the word beginning. Genesis, in the beginning God created. Mark, in the beginning of the gospel was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And John, in the beginning was the Word. And we got a real, 32 times in this chapter, Genesis 1 alone, the name for God is Elohim, which is a word that emphasizes his majesty and power. And the word Elohim is a plural noun, meaning three, or more than one. And we got to realize that the Trinity was involved in creation.
That's right. Amen. Not us.
Amen. God, like I said, God, Jesus is the same God who made this earth. That's from a hint that God exists in three persons, three personalities in one person. So, for example, the Bible says in Acts 4:24, this is a type of God in creation, the God the Father. There were three people involved, God the Father, so God the Son, the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says in Acts 4:24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and so it said, Lord, thou art God, which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and that is in them. In Revelation 4:11, it says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And you got God the Son. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him, there was not anything that was made. And then we have God, and then in Colossians it says, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, that whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or all things were created by him for him.
Amen.
Now we got to realize there's a pattern to God's activities during the first week of creation. First he formed, then he filled. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God creates. For chapter 1, verses 3 to 13, he forms. And then Genesis 14, 1:14 through 27, and verses 2, chapter 2, verse 7, he fills. So we're going to take a look at these days of creation and succession. On the first day, he created heaven. Now, the word heaven is in plural, and there's three heavens. There's the first heaven, which is what we see, the homes of the birds and the clouds. And it says, Daniel 4:12, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in thereof. And then you got the second heaven, which is the home of the sun, moon, and stars.
That's right.
And it says in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Amen?
Amen.
And then you got the third heaven, which is the home of the angels and the departed saints. That's where we go when we die.
Amen.
And then it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, it says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such one caught up into the third heaven. Now, and my next point here is the Holy Spirit moved upon the earth. And this moving was kind of is a like a vibrating energy source, which began to flow our energy ways of heat and magnetism. Thus created, the universe was energized. Both energy and matter were now present in space, the time framework. These are the three types of force fields that were now in effect: gravitational, electromagnetical, and nuclear. It says, and the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commended the light to shine out of the darkness. I mean, and it's an interesting point to note that nobody, even today, can tell us what light is, really.
That's right.
We know what light does, of course, but we don't know what it's made of. It's one of the most mysterious entities in the universe. But God commended the light to shine and then separated this light from, thank you, separated this light from the darkness in verses 3 and 4. Now, here's the question for you. How could there be light when the light bearers aren't mentioned until the fourth day?
That's right.
Since we're not told that this light came from any of the luminaries God created, so it was God, it probably came from God himself,
that's
who
right.
is light,
yeah.
according to 1 John 1:5.
That's right.
The eternal city will enjoy endless light without the help of the sun or the moon.
Amen.
So that begs the question, why couldn't there be light at the beginning of time before these luminaries were made? Well, the Bible says the light is associated with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen.
And God's people and God's blessings, while darkness is associated with Satan, sin, death, spiritual ignorance, and divine judgment. And from this very day, first day of creation, God establishes the principle of separation. Not only did he separate light from the darkness and day from night, but later he also separated the waters from above the waters beneath, and the land from the waters. This explains why God separated the light from the darkness, for the two have nothing in common.
That's right. Amen.
Now we're going to take a look at the second day, which is recorded in Genesis 6 through 8. God separated the waters in verse 7. This water was in two forms. We got regular land-based water, which is in shallow oceans, rivers, and lake beds. Atmospheric water in the form of invisible vapors, like rain and whatnot. And these waters cover it in a vaporous blanket, which covered the original creation. Now, the annual precipitation in the form of rain and snow that falls upon the earth is equivalent to 860,000 cubic miles, enough to cover the entire earth to a depth of 3 feet. God, and the third day in Genesis 9 through 13, God gathered the waters in verses 9 through 10 and caused dry land to appear, thus making the earth into seas. Now, a lot of critics out there, the critics once declared the Moses to be a fool, a simpleton, for making such a statement. In verse 9, where it says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. We now know that although the continents are divided, the sea occupies one bed, because we all know that there's like land under the sea. Notice in verse 11 how Moses catalogs the earth's vegetations by a simple natural division, using his high guide for the structure of plants and their seeds. The first plant, the seed is not particularly noted because it's not obvious to the eye. The second seed is the marked for feature. And then the third is a characteristic mark of the fruit, which is its seed. You know, God caused plant life to appear on earth. God decreed that each one would reproduce after its own kind. And this phrase appears 10 times in chapter 1 alone, which helps to make possible the order in nature. God has set reproductive limits for plants and animals because he is the Lord of creation.
Amen.
There is no suggestion here of any kind of evolution. God was preparing the earth for a habitation for humans and animals, and the plants would help to provide for
the
food. Now we're going to take a look at the fourth day creation. God has now created three special spaces, the land, the seas, and the expanse of the sky. During the next three created days, he will fill these spaces. The Bible says in Psalms 104, verse 24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. On the first day, God created physical light. He now creates special light sources. These heavenly bodies were made to function in a threefold manner. As signs, they teach and remind men of God's created work. In Psalms 8:3 says, When I consider thy heavens, thy works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. As seasons, they function as a calendar, dividing days and years, enabling men to accurately plan their work. And some points about this is Israel needed the help of these heavenly bodies to direct their activities, such as when to plant and when to harvest and whatnot. And the Jews in the Old Testament, because of their religious observances, the Jews needed to know what times in the seasons, when the Sabbath arrived and ended, and their various feasts, when it was a new month and it was time to celebrate their annual feasts. And this was all before the invention of the clock and compass. The activities of human life were closely linked to nature cycles, and navigators depended on the stars to direct them, then help navigate. Now, another point here is, now the Bible says in Timothy 4:4, hold on, let me get to it. Another point is when we bow at meals to thank him for the food he provides, when we see the sunshine and the rain provided at no expense to us, and when we reach the progress of seasons, we should lift our hearts to praise the Creator for his faithfulness and his generosity.
Amen.
And my third point here is, as lights, they replaced the temporal light source of these early days. The sunlight consists of three rays: heat rays, which is a type of the spirit, as we can feel him; light rays, type of the sun, we can see him; and actianic rays, type of the Father. We can neither see him nor feel him, but he is the source of all light. The Bible says in Malachi 4:2, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And we may be asked why God created the earth on the first day, but waited until the fourth day before establishing the sun, stars, and moon. Two of these possible reasons are suggested for this, one dealing with priority, other with prevention. That the priority of God created the earth because it was the most important thing in his mind at the time. It was upon planet Earth that he planned to create on the sixth day a creature made in his own image. This creature, man, would live on Earth and not the moon. Then plants had already been made in the fullness of time for the second person in the Trinity to wrap human flesh and bone about him and to come to planet Earth. Finally, it will be upon the earth, not Pluto or Venus, that the King of Kings shall come someday, touch down on the Mount of Olives to establish his millennial kingdom. that of prevention. Almost without exception, every ancient civilization has worshipped the sun. But God wanted his people to worship its creator, that's namely right. himself. Amen. Thus he informs that his life and light existence before the sun, and that every good gift and every perfect gift among him had come down from the Father of lights. Now you notice how in verse 16, God knew that the sun was bigger than the, Moses knew that the sun was bigger than the moon. The sun is so big that it could contain six million moons. And we should also notice in that verse that God made the stars also. Just five simple words. But notice the extent of these five words. The star Eridanus is so large that it could swallow up 64 million suns the size of ours. In the Aguria constellation, the star Epsilon is so vast that it's 3,000 times that of our sun, and its volume is 27 billion times our sun. So next point is we're going to take a look at the fifth day in Genesis 1, chapters 20 to 23. And God created the sky and the waters, and now he filled them abundantly with living creatures. He made the birds to fly in the sky, aquatic creatures to frolic in the seas. The Bible says in Psalm 104:26, there go the ships, there is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. The skies, or the seas, were filled with fish, and skies were filled with fowls. An interesting combination. Fish and fowl have a lot in common. Both have streamlined forms to help them swiftly move through the water. Both are covered with shingle-like layers, whether it be scale or feathers. Both lay eggs and both migrate. God said in verse 20 that the waters were to bring forth abundantly. Even one drop of water in a ditch can hold as much as 5 million microscopic creatures, so small that a teaspoon of water could be to them what the Atlantic is to us. Half a billion of them can live in a single drop. They appear in 1,000 species. Some are herbivores, some are carnivorous, some have shells, and some have none. They possess mouths, teeth, nerves, and glands. What a wonderful God, amen.
Yeah.
Some species have been 1 to 200 sacs or stomachs connected by an intestinal canal. The thickness of these membranes line those stomachs and have been estimated 1/50 millionth part an inch. I mean, what a contrast is seen here in verse 21 from the tiny hummingbird to the massive blue sperm whale. The sperm whale is longer and heavier than a modern jet passenger plane. It can reach 110 feet and weigh 150 tons. And the thing is, a new element is added to God's work on this day. Not only did he call his work good, but he blessed the creatures that he had made. And God's blessings enabled the creatures and fowl to reproduce abundantly. And the Bible says in Psalms 104, verse 25, and so this is the great and wide sea, wherein things are creeping, unsinnumerable, both small and great beasts. So, and now we come down to the sixth day, and recording in Genesis 24:31. Now, at this point, God has formed and filled it with the earth and the sky with flying birds. He has formed the seas and filled the waters with aquatic creatures. At this point, creation reaches its climax when on the sixth day, he filled the land with animal life and created the first man who, with his wife, would have dominion over the earth and its creatures. In verse 24 and 25, God created the vertebrates and the creeping things. Moses gives us a threefold classification of these. One is he refers to the cattle as four-footed domestic animals. He refers to the creeping things as creatures that move along the ground. And he refers to the beast as wild animals. And Scientists today have classified over millions of different kinds of animals. There are over 800,000 kinds of insects, 30,000 kinds of fish, 9,000 kinds of birds, 600 kinds of reptiles, 300 kinds of amphibians, and 5,000 kinds of mammals. And just, and you got to keep this in mind, they all produce after their own kind.
Amen.
And like the first man, the animals were formed out of the dust of the ground, which explains why the bodies of both humans and animals go back to the dust after death. And Ecclesiastes verse chapter or 3:19-20 says, "For that which befalleth the sons of man befalleth beast, even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So that a man have no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity, for all go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. And the so this verse 26 is the first strong evidence of the Trinity in the Old Testament. And it says, who was God talking to when he said, let us create man in our image? He couldn't have been talking to the angels about his plans because the angels weren't made in God's image. And the angels had nothing to do with the creation of Adam. It must have been the other two head parts of the Trinity, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the thing is, in this portion of Scripture, man becomes the highlight of this day and of entire creation week. He was made in the image of God and possessed the highest kind of life. And we got plant life was unconscious life. Animal life was possessed conscious life, or plant life was unconscious, excuse me. And then man alone possessed self-conscious life. Man is no way related to the beast, amen.
That's right.
What animal can transmit accumulated achievements from one generation to another? What animal experiences a true sense of guilt when it does wrong or has developed a consciousness of judgment to come? What beast can exercise abstract moral judgment or show appreciation of the beauties of nature? When did we ever see a dog admiring a sunset or a horse standing breathless before a rugged grandeur of a mountain range? What animal has ever learned to read and write? I'd like to see that if that ever happened. What animal has ever learned to cook its food? Oh, to cut cloth and to make clothes or invent an elaborate tools. What animal has the gift for speech? Man stands alone. Physically, he alone walks upright. Mentally, he alone has the ability to communicate with in a sophisticated manner. Spiritually, he alone has the capability to know the mind and will of God. And next point here, it was man that was have dominion. Notice the example of Jesus Christ. I know I was going somewhere with this, don't worry.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
It was the man who was to have dominion. I mean, we got to notice the example of the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, the second Adam. He had mastery over the fish of the sea, whether over a school of fish when the disciples took a draught of fish in their nets, or over a single fish when Peter took up the fish with the coin in its mouth. He had dominion over the wild animals at his temptation in chapter 1, verses 13, and over the domesticated animal when he rode a colt into Jerusalem. He had mastery over the fowl as he told Peter that the cock would crow at the precise moment he finished denying his Lord for the third time. He had dominion over all the earth, so the devils, diseases, and death had fled at his word.
That's right. Yeah.
He walked upon the waves, stilled the angry deep, multiplied the loaves and fishes, and caused the water to turn into wine. Now we finally get to the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1-3. So At this point, obviously, God, who can create more universes than men can count, and who can lock up within the tiny breast of an atom enough energy to obliterate an island, cannot possibly grow tired. The rest of God tells us that God creation was complete in chapter 2, verse 1. These words rang out at the close of creation and redemption. It is finished.
Amen.
God exalted his Sabbath to Israel in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Now, to finish this off, it says, finish it off here. When God surveyed his creation, he saw that it was very good. Contrary to some what religions and philosophies teach, creation is not evil, and it isn't a sin to enjoy the goods that gifts God shares with us.
Amen.
And some verses, it says, Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof,
Amen.
And
yeah.
when the and they that dwell therein. First James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, whom there is no variables, neither shadow of turning. And it says in Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O God, to receive the glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All right, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your creation. We thank you for sending God.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for Jesus coming to die on the cross for us. I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, even when I don't deserve to even be here, let alone behind this pulpit, Lord. I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Chris, have you ever done anything like this before?
No, first time.
Phew.
He did a good job, didn't he?
Amen.